Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Anime Brothers. As you can see, we are a little bit short-staffed here. Chris, Digits, Mr. Digits, handle your business. Can't wait for you to come back. And Mr. Jamil Quiet Jams, congratulations on having your baby girl.
Yes,
Yes,
sir.
man. Welcome. Welcome to the world. Esme Liliana, beautiful girl.
Yeah.
She's gonna be the first lady of the podcast.
Facts.
Yep, she's the first lady of the podcast. Awesome, beautiful, healthy baby. Take care of your business as well. Can't wait for you to come back. No, she really is a pretty girl. Like, that's crazy.
Full of hair too, man.
Rude. Head is definitely full of hair. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, wow. That girl's hair is gonna be long. Although I've never seen any baby pictures of either of them, so I can't tell which parent she looks like.
I've been told she looks more like Jamil.
That is too funny. Oh, it's definitely a beautiful baby. But yeah. Any business, you guys, and then come back as soon as possible. We miss you. Short staff, but yeah, now it's just me and Tasso Fly.
Yes,
So we can
sir.
finally get into some business with some manga. Like, we do have our actual episode today, but first we have a new segment, our manga review. And our very first thing we're going to get into is My Hero Academia. Was it chapter 290?
Chapter 290.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What a chapter.
For those, I'm pretty sure everyone's already read it by now, but
Oh, by the time this
Abby.
episode airs, like, yeah, if this episode, if they haven't read it by now, then.
I feel like anyone who's really paid attention to My Hero Academia knows or had a feeling.
Yeah, we called it in the beginning, like we alluded to it, like when we were talking about it, we're like, oh yeah, there's another Todoroki brother, and we didn't really say who, but like we had the feeling. And the thing was, like, we knew obviously that it was going to be Dobby just because we had the blue fire, but like the way, so like the fact that they revealed it, like, that wasn't surprising, but the way that they did it was just like so epic. Like, it was crazy.
TV broadcast, and then he's so casual, like, yeah, I've killed a couple of innocents up to this point, but it's not a big deal. Like, he's over here, he's
Oh,
like boasting.
well, what's his number? It was a lot. What was it, 3,000 or 300? It was a it
What
was
did he say? Oh crap. Fast
Because it
forward.
was definitely, because he said, like, I've killed like hundreds of thousands of people, my flames or whatever.
He was specific. He killed 30, over 30 innocent people in cold blood.
Okay. I knew it had something to do with three. I kept adding zeros.
But that he didn't like give his total kill count. He obviously only just talked about the innocent people,
Right.
because then it makes Endeavor look bad because
I mean, hey, well, we know Endeavor look bad. We know Endeavor is bad. Like, he's not, I give a person, but now because of the reveal, everybody knows it now. And like, the state of the society is going to be crazy after all this is done.
I got a real question though. Like, did they ever actually explain? Because, like, I feel like they told us Toyo was dead, but did they actually explain how he died or
No.
what their
No.
version of? So, I wonder what actually
Yeah.
happened to him.
That's what I'm saying. Because
Because,
even with
like,
Dobby's explanation, it wasn't really that well. Like, he's like, oh, you just abandoned me. I'm just like, but how? It's like, how did you end up thinking your son was dead? I mean, he's clearly not.
no. And then, like, did you see the picture of like the stitches and everything around, like on his chest and everything? Like,
Yeah.
he went through something. I wish they would hopefully it's explained a little bit more in the next chapter. But
well, he said in Deborah abused him, which, you know, that isn't too hard to think about. I want to know how he got all like the burns and the stitches as well, but like, yo, it just still solidifies how trash Endeavor is. Mm-hmm. As a father. That's why if you go back, we have an episode ranking our dads that we never want to be like. Yeah. And Endeavor's on that list.
Yep.
Endeavor is high on that list. That dude is trash as a father. But it's crazy though, because like you got this huge battle with Deku and Shigaraki.
Yep.
And you think like, okay, that's coming to the end. All of a sudden, freaking Giganta Machina or whatever, this dude comes and it was just like, boom. It was like, he's obviously a big force. He just tore down all those cities, right? And everybody's just like, yo, what are you guys doing here? He's like, yo, this is a big ass monster coming through. He's like, we need to come help you.
Yep.
It's like, yo, master. He's like, we need to come save you. And then the thing, it's crazy because, like, I don't know. Because I think he was able to send both Shigaraki and All for One, right? Because didn't he say, like, yeah. Oh, I can sense them twice? Yeah, that's wild. How? Because, like, now you can see how, like, oh, All for One is passing on, like, One for All. But All for One and, like, it was weird because, like, you have often the power is passing on, but then you have like the actual villain, All for One, who's still like in control somewhat. So he's trying to take over Shigaraki's body. And Shigaraki's like, nah. And he's like, yo, stay out of this, master. He's like, you had your time. It's like, it's me now.
Yeah, because All for One was telling him to leave the battle because, like, he was wounded, and he felt like the heroes were going to overtake him, even though the heroes were kind of beat up, too. But
Deku didn't give a F about what happened to his body. He would have honestly, he would have probably just tried to kill himself, and if that meant stopping Shigaraki. And I really feel like that probably would have happened. Because what was it? Him and Neji did that combo? Oh. The jet fire thing, whatever?
Oh, yeah.
They did that combo.
I have it. It was like in the beginning. Yeah, jet kindling and no, this was Shoto and
Shoto, yeah, because a thing was already hurt. Deku was already hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shoto and Ninja Ray.
Yeah. So they did like this combo of jet kindling and Ninja Ray flood.
Yeah, that was a beast move.
Yeah.
That was a beast combo attack.
It was sick. But back to what you said about Deku. The moment Bakugo got hit, he just lost control, man. He didn't care at all, like you said. He was gonna just let it all out. And I was letting him too. I was getting the goosebumps and everything. I was like, oh, snap.
The worst part is Bakugo was still trying to fight. I'm just like, dog, you got some vital stops that got punctured, man. Like, you didn't just get hurt. You literally got punctured.
Yeah. Like, you on the brink. And you still want to fight.
It is crazy. But now they have this whole side thing with, let's not forget, they had that whole side thing with freaking Toga and Ochako.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, yo, so, like, does Toga really like love Deku like that? I thought it was just like some weird like villain obsession. But then she's just like, yo, you got this present from Deku, and like she was actually like crying.
Mm-hmm. And then I actually started to feel for Toga because like I mean like her main reasoning for attacking was questioning how do you pronounce it? Ochako?
Yeah. Ochako.
Yeah. Ochako. She wanted to question her about why I forgot his name. The one that had like could impersonate everyone else. Why he died
twice?
Twice. There we go.
The one that can multiply.
Mm-hmm. She wanted to question him on. She wanted to question Ochako about that. Like why he was killed and was like did it. What was the purpose? Like, cause she just couldn't. Toga couldn't understand it. and she couldn't understand why it was justified for twice to die when they kill people and it's not justified. The League of Villains kills people and it's not justified.
Mm-hmm. So
she was just all kinds of conflicted. I almost felt like she was like swaying between like leaving the League of Villains and just, I don't know if I would say she would become good, but she would just not be evil. Like, I don't know.
That's not happening anymore.
No.
I think that point is far gone, especially after twice died.
So, yeah, that was a interesting little side bit that was happening.
But I like how Froppy came to the rescue.
Yeah.
But how does she even disappear like that, though? That's the crazy part. But it wasn't like her usual thing or whatever.
I wonder if it's that she can just, because the way she transforms into people.
Like the whole melting thing and melting away, yeah, or whatever.
Maybe that melting allows her to just escape, like, instantly. But you think she would have used it, like, all the time, when she really didn't.
That's what I'm saying. Unless somehow, like, just because, like, in the state of the emotions, like, wow, she felt like she really, like, sad or whatever. That's one of those things where maybe her emotions kind of unlocked a new ability just by being overpowered. But I don't know. Maybe they'll explain that later, further down the road.
True. But, yeah, that just overall, this chapter was just insane. And I can't. Dabi/Toya just, like,
yo, I was so beast because, like I said, Jigeta and Bakura came through, and then Dabu comes up and he's just like, "Oh, yo, Endeavor, you here?" He's like, "Oh, what? Shoto's here too? Perfect, let's go." And he's just like, and then Endeavor was like, "Dabi," he's just like, "Yo," I was like, "That's kind of rude." He's like, "Yo, I got a name too." Then he took out the cup with just Dalsius here, it's crazy. It's just like now that when you see him with the white here, how much he kind of looks like Natsu. His brother.
Oh yeah, actually.
So I'm just like, okay, that's like I never would have come. Just like, I think he's always like, but why? I was always questioning like why his hair was so black. I'm just like, oh, you mean this dude had like flame resistant dye in his hair this whole time that never wiped away?
That's wild.
I was just like,
I didn't even think of it like that.
It doused up with the quickest of water. I'm just like, wow. Then you see him with the white hair, and it's like, oh, now you see him more, how he's actually like a Todoroki. Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, like, they're looking at him, and they're like, oh my goodness, he really looks like Toya. But you've seen Dabi this whole entire time. How could you not see that he looked like? That's what I'm baffled on.
I'm telling you, you changed the hair color. It's the Superman Clark Kent effect. Yes. Superman.
What's that?
Clark Kent.
Y'all dead.
Yo. Reporter. Y'all never figure it out.
Oh, man. That's...
No, but it's crazy. Like, I love the fact that, like, it wasn't even, like, clearly it was obvious that it was Dabi. But still, like, just when, like, it comes to light, how you still made it, like, so emotional to the fact that it's like, yeah, I still felt something. It's just like, well, yeah, I knew it all the time. It's like, it's not really a surprise, but just the way it was done can still invoke some type of feeling of it being done. And that's just crazy because it's like, you hear it's like, obviously, especially with people who already don't like Endeavor, they're just like, well, now you hear the story and it's just like, okay, it really makes sense. And this is why, like, I love My Hero Academia so much, because at first it's just like the League of, especially like the League of Villains, they're not like this big OP gang of people that are just like, oh, only the heroes have to just train and get better. It's just like, nah, the League of Villains started off as kind of scrubs as well. And so with each passing moment, like, they have to get better. Like, especially like when it comes to like the anime, when the anime shows like with the League of Villains' own arc, when they started battling the Liberation,
yes,
the Liberation Army, like, yo, that's going to be epic. I was just like, wow, it really helps you build into, like, builds up the characters of the League of Villains. And I'm just like, a lot of animes don't really do it that much, where you have a bunch of this group of villains, and like you kind of be able to build up a character and backstory for like all of the main ones.
Yeah,
because we get to know more about Toga, Shigaraki twice, Dabi, even Kujiri. I still can't pronounce the name. The warp guy. I'm just gonna call him warp.
Oh, the warp guy.
Yeah. I should look up his villain name, but
did we learn about the reptile guy? Because all I can remember about him is the fact that he's always following Stain. Or Stein. Stain.
Crap, what is his name? Yeah, and Kirigiri's warp is the warp key, but yeah, a spinner, right? I think that's spinner. Yeah.
That was so easy too. That's an easy name.
I believe it's spinner. Yeah, because he had his backstory a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, I could be wrong. Yeah, nah, I believe it's spinner.
Yeah, but definitely like, spinner.
Yeah. But he felt like, what's it called? At one point, he was like, felt like leaving the League of Villains because he's just like, yo, what's going on? It's like, not really kind of why I joined. Did I really do much? Like, I kind of was following like Stain's like legacy and his like memento. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, they finally, oh, what happened when they revealed his quirk?
Yeah, I actually still. I don't remember what his quirk is.
Cause he just
doesn't he have like weapons? He can just handle and control weapons, or like he can magnetize him. I'm about to Google it.
Let me see here. Cause at first you know he can cling to walls, and it's just like cause I remember when he's fighting the League of Villains, not the Liberation Army. Like the dude whose ability, like whenever he was on the mic, he was just like, he could boost the guy. He's just like, oh yeah, your mecha ability just allows you to cling to the wall, but that's about it. Well, let me see here.
It just says a reptile like appearance, personality, abilities.
Dang, it's been so while since I read that chapter.
Yeah, so basically, just to sum it up, they just said he has really good close quarters combat ability using weapons.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it really is just sticking to and climbing to walls. But he's definitely a beast with the weapons. That's why he's just like, you know what? I know what I can do. I got to stop this dude on the mic. But now that, but yeah, like even so, like we still got a little bit of backstory on him as well, and like why he joined the army and like his feelings. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's not just we have this one main bad guy, let's go and get him. It's like now you got a bunch of different villains that you ought to take down. Obviously, there's the main one, but the other ones that aren't slouches either. You gotta watch out for them.
I agree.
But now I can't wait because you saw what's her name? Why do I keep forgetting her name? Todoroki's sister.
Was that his sister? I thought it was his mom.
I thought it was his sister that was watching the broadcast.
So the reason why I thought it was his mom is because it looked like it was in a hospital room.
Oh, it's for you, me. I could be wrong. I thought it was Fuyumi who was watching the broadcast, but it could have been his mom. I thought it was his sister the whole time.
No, so in the image, which everyone will be able to see, it says Miss Todoroki, room 315.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I overlooked that. So, yeah, this is his mom.
Yeah.
But damn, that's going to be... I meant the thing on her too. Like,
yeah, that's what gave me the feels, man. I was like, oh no, his mom's seeing this. Like, it was like, it's like a two hitter, right? One, she thought he was dead this whole time, so there's that. And this two, he's just mad evil. So like, mm-hmm. She's probably hurt, and then probably thinking I could have helped him if I knew he was alive, blah blah blah. Like, pretty sure all that stuff's rushing through her head right now.
Yo, what if like it ends up that she's like breaks out of the hospital to come and save the day and stop Dobby? I'm like, yo, don't do it. That's gonna be hard. That's gonna take out the heartstrings, dog, if she tries to come out and battle Dobby.
That would not end well. Cause what, she's just water, right? Or is she ice? What's her?
I believe she's ice. That's why I told her if you got the both halves.
Yeah. That's wild.
But think about it, like, who else is really stopping Dobby right now? And there was already there was already hurt from battling Shigaraki. He's already tired. Not to mention now you got this whole mind fuck down, like battling your son that you thought was dead. Or maybe this whole time he probably knew and just like didn't and hit it.
I don't know. His face looked pretty shocked to me. His face looked really shocked to me.
True.
The way it was drawn, at least. But you got Shoto. He could possibly battle him. But I mean, like, Toya's flames, they're like on a whole nother level.
And not to mention, you see Toya's, I mean, Shoto's face with the reveal. He's like, yo. He's like, what the hell is going on? Because because when you saw the picture of Toya in their like family bedroom, like he was a young kid, like so Shoto probably was just a baby when he died. So I don't even know like how much Shoto would actually remember of Toya.
No, you're right.
Damn. He probably just knows him by name. But dang, this is crazy.
Too crazy, man. Ah, and he's like,
he waited so long to execute this plan. Like, that is when you give someone time to execute that plan, and it's just like all these years in the making. Nah, that's dangerous.
That's too dangerous. I'm trying to figure out, yeah, his statement, the past never dies. Ah, there's so much behind that. I want to know.
Yeah. That is madness. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for chapter 291. Like, it is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I am so eager for it.
what do you think will happen? My guess I think Endeavor's probably gonna die, but more like in a sacrifice type of way, not like in a.
Yeah, see, sorry. I don't think so, just because, like, I think the story is really trying to give him this redemption arc. Plus, not to mention, like, Hawks is already badly damaged. So, like, you kill Endeavor, Hawks is badly damaged. Who then steps up to be the number one hero?
I forget who is three.
Hawks is, oh, yeah, I forgot who is three.
Hawks is two.
Yeah, Hawks is two now. So it's just like whoever's three is just like, that's not even a character. Exactly. Because the fact that we don't even know is like, that's not even a character that's going to be the symbol of peace. So yeah. I think Endeavor stays alive, but the Hero Society is going to be completely torn apart. Like, not like just like Hero Society, but like the way society views the heroes is going to be completely fractured after all is said and done. Because now you got another city that's damaged heavily.
Basically destroyed. Like,
yeah. There's a lot of high loss of casualties. Dobby just exposed Endeavor for the abusive person that he really is.
Yep.
And no matter, like, even if the heroes get out of this, the society's not going to view them the same way. That's really not the actual heroes, the ranked heroes. Is gonna be on like the kids to try and like fix up and repair the image of heroes to society. Yeah. Personally, I still think the mom, Mrs. Todoroki, I think she's gonna sacrifice if she gets out of the hospital. Like, for some reason, there's this like thought in me that she's going to somehow escape the hospital bike because she sees Toya and tries to get him to stop. But it fails miserably.
Yeah. Yo, this would be an awesome plot twist if it happened. But you remember before Night Eye died, he had said that Lumileon would basically get his powers back and be a great hero.
Yeah.
What if this is just like, this is a big what if. But like, obviously I'm assuming he would have seen the broadcast, right? I'm assuming he would also be with the little girl. I forgot her name.
Eri,
there you go. What if, I don't know, something triggers, I don't know. She hits like her reverse thing, his powers come back, and then he goes, could be crazy. Because like, think about it. all the heroes are basically, your top powerful heroes are down right now. Like, they're all injured. So who's
Eraserhead's down, like Gran Torino down.
Mm-hmm. So who's really going to come in? You got no one to battle those guys right now.
Facts.
That'd be so crazy. I doubt it would happen, but if it does, I quoted it here.
We'll still see. Like, this episode probably going to air weeks after the fight's done. Yeah. Somebody like, yo, you're wrong about this. This is like, hey, you know, we were just doing that episode review.
Yep.
Like, yo, if you're listening to this now and you still haven't get to, like, we are recording these episodes well in advance of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cool. But yeah, I can't get enough of My Hero Academia. So cool.
It's so good. But that is our segment. I know we took up a lot. That is a segment for manga review, since it's just Ty and I, you know, but we're the only manga readers of the four.
Yes.
For the podcast. So I mean, our actual episode topic that we really want to get into is the review of season one of The Boondocks.
Whew.
Nah, I'm still gonna hold my view that Boondocks isn't exactly an anime. However, it's just part of our culture. Big part of our culture that we're just gonna talk about anyways. Like, we're talking about Power Rangers, we're gonna, I have no, oh yeah, like, we've already talked about Power Rangers, so I got no problems talking about Boondocks on the show.
Yep. I know you,
at least the show is animated.
Yeah. I know you don't qualify Boondocks as an anime, but it's been officially rated as an anime. So as much as you don't want it to be one, it is one.
Honestly, like, I even forgot. I don't think I got on Boondocks right away. It wasn't really too long afterwards, but you know, just from that first episode alone, I was hooked on that show. That show is exactly what the culture needed. It was hilarious. And, you know, besides fourth season, I don't think we should do a season four review. We can just pretend like that season didn't exist.
I don't think I saw season four.
Don't, you know, there's really no need. There really isn't.
Yeah.
But no, that was just from the very first episode, where it's just like even the very first scene, like Huey's at the garden party and like Huey's like causing chaos and he's just like, yo, Jesus is black, yada, 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 yada. And then the white people start going into chaos and he wakes up and Granddad's like, Granddad wakes up, he's just like, yo, you had that dream again? Yeah. And then he slaps him. He's like, what did I tell you? Don't even dream. I got trouble for the white people. And he walked out. I was crying.
It's so real.
I was crying.
I feel like they just, like, they made fun of almost everything. Did you know, when I rewatched it, I didn't even catch the first time that Huey and Riley received an inheritance that Grandpa granddad took, and that's why they were.
Granddad took that inheritance and then bought them out to Woodcrest.
Yep, I was like, oh my goodness, he took their money. I don't even know if they comprehend that he took their money.
You know, I know Huey did. Huey definitely. You know what's my favorite part though? It's just like, at least for season one, I don't know if it continued, but like every time they had like background music for like the team or whatever, it was always Thuggin' Love or Booty Butt Cheeks. It was just those two songs. And I was just like, yeah, that is hilarious. It's forever. Man. Thuggin' Love or Booty Butt Cheeks.
Oh, man. And that just, they went over like everything that like I remember, like just me and my black friends, we would talk about and stuff. Like the big one, do you remember the Don't Drop the Soap episode?
Yes. Oh my god.
That
gosh.
One had me dying. Just
it was like, yo, Tom was so afraid. Scared of dropping soap. Like he was so straight. He's like straight edge Tom made him even straighter.
Right.
He's like, yo, Tom, you want drugs? No. So I can go to jail and get innately raped? Not me.
Not today. Oh, and then when there were little kids in the store, and his friend was like, yo, let's steal that toy. What? So I can get innately raped? Not today. I'm out of here.
I was crying.
So funny. And then did you see how he had the soap set up in his own house, hanging off the shower head? So it never falls.
Oh my goodness. I was crying. Yo, Tom cracks me up.
Yeah, the characters on Boondocks are just hilarious. Oh, man. And then you got the stereotypical, like, black man who marries a white woman, and then, like, everyone's just like, oh, he's not really black anymore, blah, blah, blah. Like, he changed sides. Oh, man. No, it was...
We also got good old Uncle Ruckus. No relation. Yeah, Uncle Ruckus is a clown.
I'll never understand that guy.
You know, my favorite part of the episode where Uncle Ruckus, like, he was, like, he was harassing Huey and Riley in the beginning. And so I think one of them called the cop. Uncle Ruckus, so the cops came. He's like, look at these niggas. And so he's like, look at these two. And it's like, good job, Mr. Officer. Look at these two little niggas do blah blah. And then, like, he went to go take something out of his pocket. He was like, yo, gun. And so they beat his ass. They're like, no. It's like, oh no. First, they shot him. And then they completely missed all the bullets. He's just like, I'm so, they're like, yo, we just missed the. All he's like, we didn't hit a damn thing. He's like, yo, I was like, it's okay, Mr. Officer. I'm sure you're doing a job. Just look what I have. So he went to his other back pocket to pull out a car. He's like, to pull out his backup wallet. And so they ran up and beat him with a nightstick. I was crying.
And he was still like, you're doing a great job, officer.
Yeah, while he's getting beat up. He's like, I know you're doing your duty, Mr. Officer. This dude is a clown.
Oh my goodness. I could never find, like, I figure, like, all the characters kind of were like a relation of something in the world at that time, but I couldn't think of, like, a person that was supposed to be like Uncle Ruckus, who was like a black person who's just like, I'm so pro white. Because I feel like it was kind of related to the world at the time, but I didn't know anyone that was just like that.
I mean, there are some people who are like that. Just I don't think it was any direct relation to some, but to a specific person. But, you know, there are some people in the world like that. Oh, unfortunately, like, of course, you know, with Uncle Ruckus, it's like a joking character. But then, you know, there are actual, like, real people who are real, like, black people who, like, hate their skin.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is sad. Mm-hmm. But Honestly, my favorite episode of season one was Martin Luther King, when Martin Luther King came back. That, like, the fake episode where Martin Luther King didn't actually die. He was in a coma and then woke up after 30 years. Yo, honestly, my two favorite parts is, well, first, you know, after Martin Luther King goes back, and then obviously that was around the time of they did the thing where 9/11 happened, and they're like, yo, how do we feel? And then he's like, you know, the Bible said we should turn the other cheek. And of course, everybody got mad at that, and they started getting mad at Martin Luther King. And they said he was some people started calling him a communist or whatever. But my favorite part is when they went on the talk show, him and Huey went on the talk show. And so the host was just like, he's like, I have a question. How do you feel of being like a cheap communist bastard? And then Huey just threw the chair at him and then started wailing on him. I was crying hard. It was just like, yo, Huey was done. He was just like, oh, you asked too many questions. Like, you asked the wrong question, not today. Mm-hmm. And started wailing on him. And then, of course, you know, the key part towards the end of the episode, where Martin Luther King gives that speech. Will you ignorant niggas please shut the hell up? Yo, that speech, I honestly, when it first came out, like, I watched that scene so many times that I had that thing memorized. It was it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. It was just, I was like, niggas love, no, we're like, niggas hate the wax and weed. Niggas love to complain. It's just like the whole speech about how being a nigga was just wrong. I was just, it was hilarious. I love that speech so much.
Oh, man. There's a lot of great episodes. I always found the fight, Granddad's fight.
Stink meter.
I always found that so hilarious.
Oh, yeah, and damn, Granddad, you got your ass whipped by a blind man.
Oh, man. And then Granddad would go to Riley. He was like, shut up, boy, I'll whip you. And Riley was just like, well, don't go too hard, Grandpa. Granddad, let me close my eyes and maybe see if you can hit me.
I must be blind because I sure didn't see that ass whooping coming. Oh my goodness.
Yo, Riley was cutthroat.
Yo, Riley all the was. Time. Riley was in Granddad's ass after he got beat up. He would not let up. Yo, because that started, because the way the episode started off, he was talking about, like, people are victims of a nigga moment.
Yes.
That's such a sweet episode. I'm just like, when he describes a nigga moment, he's like, yeah, that's really, really a nigga moment.
Yes.
People fall victim. People always fall victim people always fall to being a victim of a nigga moment.
Can't let up your ground. And then they explain how white people never fall into the moment because they just like, oh wait, I'm white, and then they walk away.
Yeah, he's like, I wait, I fight. He was like, nope. He's like, a situation which otherwise can be resolved in other manners. Nope, gotta end in a fight or a gun, Shaws.
Yeah, and what was crazy is like they broke down the whole like the for Granddad, like when Huey broke it down as it was happening, like Granddad, as long as he avoids this and that, he was fine. Like Granddad was actually doing good. He was gonna avoid the moment until Sneak Meter smelt some fresh brand new sneakers
and stepped on him.
That was
scuffing it. Up the sneakers. Yep.
That was it.
Yo, that was a wrap. After that, it was finito.
Yep.
But the best part is during the episode, they were just like, yo, you don't need to, like, niggas just start fights over anything. It's like, all you need to do is throw a chair. You ain't gotta hit nobody. Just throw a chair. And yeah, that's how Riley gets out of paying all those people back the money, because he was just booking people, he was grabbing people's money for stink meters fight. And then Grandpa kills him.
Instantly. Like, that wasn't even worth the fight. And he was like, throws a chair. And then everyone just starts fighting.
Throw it. Everybody starts like, yo, I'm mad. Everybody just starts yelling at each other.
Makes no sense. Oh, I love it.
What was the episode? what was it? Ed and Rummy go to kidnap Oprah.
Yes.
Baby, and they're just robbing the bank. He's just like, yo, are we good? He was just like, no, we're trash. He's just like, if your granddad didn't own this bank, your granddad didn't own this bank, we'd have been caught hours ago. It's just like, so what did you think? He's like, nah, sir. He's like, I think you did well robbing the bank. He's like, yo, you're not just saying that because I got a gun pointed at you. Nah, I would never. And then he bounced on the rider, just like, we're trash.
Yep.
It's just hilarious how the whole town just kept letting Eddie and Rummy just get away with anything.
Because
and Rummy didn't want to believe it. He's just like, nah, we're hardcore. So he's like, no. Your granddad owns this.
And that's why you can get away with everything that you do. Oh my goodness. I forgot about Let's Nab Oprah. That's also when Huey battled what was that fighter dude's name? He was Oprah's like
Bushido Brown.
Yeah. That fight, I enjoyed that fight because he had the lightning gloves, right?
No, yeah. he made the electric gloves to stop Riley and Rummy. The worst part is just like, yo, when he's trying to hang up, the beginning scene, though, the beginning fight with Riley and Huey, when Huey came out with the sword and Riley was just coming at him with the furniture, he was just like, yo, I'm cutting this up. And then Riley pulled out the gun from nowhere. He's just like, yo, he's like, you're not going. And then at the yo, before he probably was like, yeah. went to go kidnap Oprah. Riley was like, yo, where you at? He's like, we got Oprah. He's like, nah. He's like, what you mean? I'm outside the Barnes & Noble. Where you at? He's like, wait, Barnes & Noble? He's like, where you at? We're like, what borders? He's like, you know, like, Oprah's still here. Like, who we kidnap? He's like, Maya and you. He's like, my Angelo. He's like, you mean like, I should stand up and rise, my Angelo? And they tossed their ass out of the van.
Yeah, I remember that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, they didn't even like stop, put it down safely though. They just tossed their ass out of the van. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my goodness.
And then at the end, the freaking Huey came up and just started beating Riley's ass and dragging him back. He's just like, you do not kidnap Oprah.
Oh my goodness. I love it. It was so crazy that did so much stuff. I forget which episode it was, but Huey stated that he was 10 years old, which would, I think, made Riley 8 years old. And that all that stuff happens at that age. Like, that's wild.
Oh, there was the episode. Oh, I cannot forget about the Christmas episode. Oh my goodness, especially because we get into that holiday season.
That's right.
Yo, Riley beat Santa's ass in the mall. Everybody watched. My man said, what the fuck is wrong with you people? You're just going to watch Santa Claus get his ass beat by a kid? He's like, yo, fuck you. Oh my goodness. He went off on everybody. I mean, he had a good reason. Like, they really just sat there and watched him get his ass beat by a kid.
That was a good one, too, man. Oh, Christmas one. You know what phrase I used to say all the time?
What?
Game recognized game, Grandpa. You look a little unfamiliar. That was like my favorite phrase.
That's a classic line. That is a classic. Yo, I got game. Granddad. Game recognized game, Granddad. I got game recognized game, Granddad. And you looking unfamiliar. And granddad was like, I can't believe he couldn't tell that girl was a hoe though. Yo, she had the worst type of name too.
Crystal.
Crystal is like, Crystal, is that a stripper name? That sounds like a stripper name. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, boy, shut up. Granddad, oh my goodness, this dude's such a clown.
Such a clown, man.
It's like, yo, granddad, does she hide from, does she duck under the table when she sees a man in a purple suit? He's like, all the signs, he's like, all the signs of her being a hoe. And he's just like, nah, he just brushed it all off. And she's just like, it's like, wait, you're a hoe? He's like, I didn't know. He's just like, how did you not know? He's like, the signs are clearly there.
All of them. And my, a pimp named Slipback. Hello, like, Mr. Slipback.
Hello, Mr. Slipback. No, 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 no. It's a pimp named Slipback. That's what I said. Slipback. No.
No.
A pimp named Slipback. You got to say the whole thing. It's like a Tribe Called Quest.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. And then when they make Granddad heroic, they always, you know, when he pulls out the belt and That always, it makes it seem cool for a little bit. Like, Grandpa was like, Granddad's like a cool dude from being a dumb.
Oh, Grandpa's definitely a cool dude, but he's still dumb. He's still a dumb old man. He's definitely an old school nigga, but at least he respects women. He definitely, acts like the thing is like, that's his one thing, like, he definitely respects women.
Oh, yeah. He was like, there'll be no hitting of a woman in my house. And Pitman Sitback was like, but this is a hoe. He's like, not in this house. I was like, get him, Granddad, get him.
And then she left him to go. She's like, yeah, we can be a family together. She's just like, what? She's like, wait, up in this back, wait. He's like, I can't raise no family. I can be no mom.
Oh my goodness. That was crazy though, because like she literally spent the whole episode trying to, according to her, trying to not be a hoe. And then all of a sudden, when the pimp's like, I'm going to leave you, she's like, oh, I'm going to go back to you. Like, she had a chance. She could have left. Been out of the game.
He was like, yo, there's no easy to say this. I didn't need you to get the hell up out of this house.
Yo, he would be having some great talks with people. Like, just.
Yeah, he was the like, GOAT, man. He was the GOAT. He's awesome. Yeah. Where was it? Oh, and Jasmine had the lemonade stand. I was like,
oh.
And then Ed Winston took it over. Instead of made it sign the contract. He's like, yo, you want this pony, right? That's so wrong, though. He's like holding the pony like hostage.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to get the labor. She went wild.
Oh, my goodness.
Turned a sweet, innocent girl crazy.
Yeah. Freaking Winslow.
Honestly, one of my favorite episodes, or the itis that introduced me to the itis. I'm just like, hasn't been the same. Where Grandpa made that burger with the donuts for the buns, and then an actual store went and did that. I can't remember which store it was, but an actual store went and made that type of a sandwich. I'm just like, yo, you literally just ripped off the itis.
Yep.
You literally just ripped that off from Boondocks, but the itis is real.
Yeah, I honestly was using that phrase for the longest time after I saw that.
Oh, I still use it. After you eat a nice meal and you start feeling sleepy, yo, I got the itis.
Yep. Oh my goodness. That show, I didn't realize how much that show trademarked a lot of things that people say now.
I'm telling you, that show was for the culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, such a good show. Oh man. Yeah, but I don't know if there are many other episodes. I know we're just recapping it. Well, basically the Boondocks, it wasn't like a progressional kind of season. Like, you could easily have dropped in at any episode and been just fine.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, yeah, one episode didn't like really bleed into another like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, each episode was its own standalone thing, but each episode brought gold.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we went through all the episodes.
We didn't go through all of them, but I know there was the episode with.
Which one are you gonna say? I'll say mine after.
No, I wouldn't say there was an episode where Granddad had to go back because his friend Mo passed away or whatever. And he was having beef with the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yo, why did you have the beef with Mo? And honestly, yeah, justifiable beef with Mo. Mo was an asshole.
Yep.
And you're just like, yo, Robert, you didn't then try to make it seem like, oh yeah, Robert, you didn't they're like, yeah, Mo was an asshole, but he's not the one who threw your friendship away. It was you. But I'm just like, you didn't really need to be friends with them, especially when they go back and recap the war story. A man shot Robert out of that sky. Like, he damaged the plane, the war plane. That my favorite, was, I think, no, I was going to say my favorite part of the episode was after, like, when Grandpa did this whole thing about the, when he's doing his eulogy, right, and he said, call Mo the asshole. Then that little, that fake Huey Dewey try to get up and say his poem, whatever. And that poem was stayed up trash. And Ryan was like, boo. Boo, get off the stage. You suck. And then Kyra was trying to hit out Riley. He's just like, yo, Riley, shut up. And he's just like, yo. I was just like, yo, this nigga's corny. He's like, so corny. He's like, at least he's here. And he's like, come on, Kyra. And then Huey like laid into Kyra.
Yeah.
Giving that punch.
I was actually about to talk about that fight. Oh my goodness. Yeah, as I say, because the other part of that episode was Huey and Riley going back to their
hometown. It better Riley chased after Dewey. He's like, oh, we fighting? Let's go. He's like, come here, nigga.
Love it. But the episode I was thinking of was the trial of R. Kelly.
Oh,
right!
Wow,
it's so crazy. Like, they had video evidence of him peeing on the girl, then his face, then him saying that he is R. Kelly. Like, there was indisputable
evidence. The way that they went to the extremes with that one, it's like, yo, all this evidence, and y'all still, and he still went free. But the best part about it, in the beginning, when they find out that Tom was the prosecutor, whatever, Riley starts arguing with Tom, and he just like offers some nonsense, but Tom can't counter the points because it's so ridiculous, and Riley walked away. He was just like, "Damn, you just got beat by an 8-year-old."
Oh, poor Tom.
And the favorite thing is like, oh, Tom's clearly losing control of the courtroom. And then they start playing the music. R. Kelly's dancing on the table. And then Huey stops. He's just like, what is wrong with you people? He's like, R. Kelly is not that mean. He's like, not that mean. He's like, yes, the system is designed to go against men of color. But R. Kelly's not one of those men. He's disgusting. He needs help. He's like, you want to save R. Kelly? Then help R. Kelly. Get him some help. And then you see there's some silence. Oh, you hear Riley in the background. Boo. Boo, shut up, nigga. Turn on put the music back on.
Yeah.
Riley. Riley is a freaking clown.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character in the Boondocks?
Huey.
Nah, Huey's definitely good. It's hard to like. I like Huey's obviously like the sane, like philosophical, like character, but it's just like sometimes you just need Riley's ratchetness. You need Riley's ratchet to bring the comedy. It's just like it's so good. Uncle Ruckus might be one of my favorite characters, yo. Just the way he's so outlandish. Like, yo, I forgot what episode was, but the dude was straight up hating on Robert left to right, and then they were going to dinner. He's just like, take me with you, nigga. And turn the other cheek. It was a Martin Luther King episode. He's just like, He's like, he started wailing on Martin Luther King. That's what I forgot to mention. He was like, I've been hurling bricks at you since the 60s. Damn. And I ain't gonna stop now. And then they did the flashback. Martin Luther King was just trying to have a speech. And you see just a random brick be flying. I was like, yo, Uncle Ruggers is insane.
He's savage.
He's like, we're going to lunch. He's just like, yo, take me with you. Turn the other cheek, nigga.
Oh, man. But yeah, so you think that's your favorite character, or like
Yeah,
one of your
Uncle
top?
Ruckus. Like, yeah, he's because he's so outlandish. Like, Uncle Ruckus is just like so outlandish, but he makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? I don't know if you ever listened to The Breakfast Club or whatever, but there is Charlamagne. He does like interviews with people, and there's one episode where he has an interview with Uncle Ruckus. It is just pure gold. And the best part about it is afterwards, people didn't realize that Uncle Ruckus was a fictional character. So they were blowing up. They were blowing up Charlamagne's Twitter, talking about how can you have this dude on? And it
My
was,
goodness.
I was crying. It was like sometime in the middle of like last year or something.
Oh man. I don't listen to that, but that is hilarious.
Yeah, but if you go ahead, YouTube the interview with Uncle Ruckus. Oh my gosh, it is the most hilarious thing. Like, and it's so sad the state of people who didn't realize that Uncle Ruckus was a fictional character.
Yeah. I mean, the moment I hear the name Uncle Ruckus, I instantly always think Boondocks. Like, I don't even think it could be in my head a real person. Like, I'll be so shocked if there's someone with the name Ruckus, and then obviously they have like a nephew or a niece, and he goes by Uncle Ruckus. That'd be wild. But yeah, now I would say he was my favorite only because, like, yeah, he's a deep thinker and all that stuff. But I just like the fact that, like, his leadership. I like that part of him, and then I just like the fact that he has all these combat abilities, which I also wish I could have. So.
I just forever getting into a fight.
But yeah, that's why I like Huey a lot.
That's not a bad pick. He's a good character.
But if Huey wasn't there, Riley would easily be my next top choice. Even
Yo,
though.
the two different sides of the same coin. You gotta have
Yeah.
them both.
I need someone to be my Riley, because I can't be Riley 24/7. I would want to, but I couldn't.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I bet you Jam's gonna pull off being a Riley all the time. God, Jam. Jamil. But yeah.
Funny thing is, yeah, our yo, if we actually, yo, right now, if we had to actually like pick a character, he'd be Tom. Quiet Jimps is our Tom.
So true.
He really is Tom.
Oh my goodness, I'm dead.
Just think about it.
Yeah, no, Quiet Jams would be Tom. Chris Digits would probably be Riley.
Oh
No?
yeah,
Yeah,
I think that Digital would be definitely be a Riley.
yeah. Yeah. Who would you be?
Oh, now that I think about it,
I don't know. I feel like you could be almost be a Huey too.
I could be human. I'm trying to think of like all the characters that are in there.
Oh, all of them. Oh, okay. Let's see. Who else is
I'm
in there?
trying, I'm trying to think like which character best suit, because like I feel like picking he was just like is like an easy grab for
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
Chris Def, Chris Farley, definitely. Jams for a Tom, yes. Straight up. Honestly, if I wasn't Huey, I'd be a granddad type. Yeah,
Yeah.
just mad stubborn and stuck in niggerish ways.
Oh man. Let's see. I would want to be Huey, but I'm trying to think who else in the show I could be. I don't know if I'm too crazy enough to be like an Ed. That's about it though.
At the third, at once of the
Yeah.
third, and Rummy, yo, those two are wild, man.
Oh man, who else is there?
The two straight act up. I mean, in terms of season one, those are like the character list is kind of small.
Yeah, I was gonna say season two, there's a little bit more. Yeah, but No, that was that's a good recap on the Boondocks season one. Had a little man. Twist of who we think people would be. That's kind of funny.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You got any closing comments on the Boondocks or anything else you want to go over?
I mean, for all you guys listening, if you haven't watched it, you just go and watch the show. Like, this show is hilarious. It, like, I really don't see how anybody would watch this. I mean, certain people could watch this. I can see how certain people would watch the show and not think it's funny, but that show is hilarious.
Yes,
sir. I say the show is for everybody.
Oh, definitely is for everybody. Yeah.
Like, white, black, you, doesn't matter your demographic. Like, that show is just straight up comedy.
And if you get the uncut version, you're in for big laughs, I think.
Got it. You got it. Yeah. Like he said, it's got to be the uncut version, too.
Yeah.
You definitely need to get the uncut version.
Yeah.
And the fact, the fact that the way they did it is just like, I'm surprised it lasted on Adult Swim for so long, just because even with the censored version, it still went there a lot. It was still outlandish and wild. But I'm glad Adult Swim gave us that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think I would have knew about it if I hadn't seen it on Adult Swim.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm. But no, that was good stuff, man.
Yes, it was. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call it here. That's another good episode of Anime Brothers. You know what to do. Leave a comment below, like, and subscribe. You can find us on Instagram at Anime Brothers. You can find us on Twitter at A Brothers. If you want to look at me, I'm also do my own thing. We also have our own personal Instagrams as well. At Disciple Dash. Oh, here's the. I don't think Ty does. I think Ty's on the IG. You can find me at Disciple Dash on Instagram, at Disciple Dash on Twitter. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Disciple Dash. Like I said, leave a comment, like, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week with another episode.
Yes, sir. Annie out, y'all.
Peace.